From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, the controversial look at paranormal research with Robert Schock. We'll also take a few moments and talk with Robert as some of his incredible discoveries in Egypt, the Sphinx specifically. I'm looking forward to this discussion tonight. Well, the flu season is in full swing with wide outbreaks, they say, now in 11 states, and a new strain is starting to emerge that this year's vaccine, they say, doesn't specifically target. Every year, the flu infects up to 20% of the population, causes the hospitalization of 200,000 people, kills 36,000 people. I still do not get the flu shot. You do whatever you're going to, whatever kind of bug nailed me earlier last week. I fought it off in a couple days. Iran has conducted its very first successful space rocket launch with President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad on hand to take the takeoff and kick in the country's space center. Government spokesperson, who also observed the launch of the Researcher 1, announced Iran soon plans to send its first satellite into space. It's called the Omid. Tehran claims the satellite is made in Iran and simply intended for research. Boy, they're working in all kinds of directions these days, aren't they? The Iranian student news agency said the Omid would be launched in the next Iranian calendar year, which begins March 20th. Today's launch, according to the news agency, enters Iran in the rank of 11 countries that have sent a rocket into space. The FBI is gearing up to create a massive computer database of you, your physical characteristics, all part of an effort of what the Bureau says to better identify criminals and terrorists. But at issue that raises major privacy concerns, what one civil liberties expert could say would concern all of us. The Bureau is expected to announce in coming days the awarding of $1 billion, 10-year contract to help create the database that will compile an array of biometric information from palm prints to eye scans. 1 in 4 Britons don't believe wartime Prime Minister Winston Churchill even existed. This is an incredible story. Churchill is compared to Florence Nightingale and Sir Walter Raleigh, seen by many survey respondents. Also mythical people. The survey, conducted with 3,000 respondents to test their general knowledge, reported other historical figures such as Indian leader Mahatma Gandhi, Cleopatra, and the Duke of Wellington were made up for books and films. The young Brits under 20 lack apparently a basic historical education. Too many video games. The next time you go out to pump some gasoline on a very cold day or stormy day and you're out there in the weather going, what am I doing? Well, think what's happening in the Netherlands. Motorists and that nostalgia for the time that they could sit tight while attendants braved windswept garages for quarts to fill their tanks may yet see these days returning. Compliments of a Dutch robot. Dutch inventors unveiled a $111,100 car fueling robot they say is the first of its kind, working by registering the car on arrival at the filling station and matching it to a database of fuel cap designs and fuel types. A robotic arm fitted with multiple sensors extends from a regular pump, carefully opens the car's flap, unscrews the cap, picks up the fuel nozzle, and directs it toward the tank opening, much as a human arm would do. But they say it's just as efficient as well. UnknownCountry.com, that's Whitley Strieber's website, he reports on a 30-hour UFO landing reported in Mexico. 30 hours. A UFO in glowing lights has reportedly spent 30 hours on the ground in an isolated area of Mexico about 100 miles east of Acapulco. The object landed in the early morning hours of December of 2007. Emitted flashes of light, it was observed by the entire community, including local citizens and personnel at a local gold mine. Witnesses described a saucer-shaped craft that passed over the town square slowly and silently. Apparently, there were physical injuries and electrical disturbances as well. Attempts to take videos and photos failed. There were apparent distortions. It's an incredible story that Whitley Strieber has on unknowncountry.com. In a moment, psychic Lisa Williams joins us. Looking forward to talking with Lisa. She's next on Coast to Coast AM. Lisa Williams is an internationally acclaimed medium and clairvoyant who has an amazing ability to communicate with loved ones who have passed on to the other side. She was discovered by Merv Griffin and now has her own hit television show on Lifetime, Lisa Williams, Life Among the Dead. She's appeared on Jimmy Kimmel Live, Larry King, Oprah, The Today Show with Matt Lauer, and here she is, Lisa Williams. Lisa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
It's good to have you on the program. I've had so many people over the last several months sending me emails saying, please, please, get her on. So here you are.
Oh, no, that's so sweet. Thank you very much for having me.
And you're going to be at the Conscious Life Expo this coming weekend in L.A., aren't you?
I am, yes. I'm very excited. I'm going to be there on Sunday and also Monday as an extra date.
Well, good for you. I'm going to be there Saturday and I think a bit of Sunday, so
fabulous.
I look forward to meeting you. Lisa, tell me a little bit about this ability of yours. How'd you get it?
Oh, well, you know, it's kind of a little bit hereditary. My grandmother had it, you know, but also I think you also have to experience, everyone has a psychic awareness, but some people can develop it more so. And also, depending on how much of your life's path that you've actually, you know, lived, well, it will develop more, you know, the more you've lived, the more it will develop. So it's been an interesting ride.
And you're a medium clairvoyant. So what does that mean?
Well, that means that I do have the ability to communicate with the other side. So obviously people's loved ones come and chat with me and they give messages across. And then also I have the ability to see images, you know, psychically. So I will also work in a psychic sense as well.
Are you disrupted at all because you're able to communicate and see the people from the other side?
No, not really. I'm used to it now.
Ah, in the beginning?
In the beginning? Oh, that was a different matter. In the beginning, you know, when I was young, of course, I was scared. I used to hide under my covers in bed because it was normally at night I saw them. And I thought everybody lay underneath their bed covers frightened. I thought it was a normal thing.
Would you tell your parents, hey, Mom and Dad, I'm seeing these strange people in my room? And what did they say?
Oh, you have an overactive imagination, Lisa. Go back to sleep.
Yeah.
So I was branded with that whole overactive imagination. But really, you know, I was seeing dead people. And that's exactly it.
Parents try to quash this, even though they really don't know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
They should let the little one go through this entire metamorphosis, shouldn't they?
Yes. They should just allow it just to develop naturally on their own. I do it with my son. You know, if he sees something in the shower and actually I walk in and there's nothing there, I just allow him to talk. He wants to talk about his own world, I let him talk about it because they are the ones that are taking us into the next sort of like dimension. They're really going to take us on that spiritual revolution.
Did these spirits, Lisa, when you were a little girl, did they know that you could see them?
Yes. They used to play me up because I could see them.
You think that's what they, you think they came to you because of that?
Yeah. I mean, it's the thing is that we all have an aura. You know, as a medium, we have you have a certain type of aura. And it's like bees to honey. They just get attracted. So I used to get this little boy in my bedroom sort of jump from one end of my bedroom to the other end and sort of pull faces at me, na, 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 and run off. And I'm like, oh, he's scaring me.
We don't all have a room full of dearly departed ones, do we? Just wandering around on us?
No, generally no. I mean, basically, if you really want your loved ones to come and have a chat with you, then of course they will. You know, they'll come and chat with you via a medium or even give you the signs that they're around themselves. But normally, it's only when you need them or when you want them.
How did you hone your skills, Lisa? Of course, all right, as a little girl, you had this ability, but I'm sure it was a raw ability. You probably didn't have it under control. How were you able to start developing it?
Well, I was really thrown into the deep end. That's exactly what happened to me. You know, I gave a reading to somebody, which I fumbled around at, and then I realized that there was kind of like this set pattern or a format that I tended to follow. And so I kept to the format. And then slowly I started to think, okay, I'm hearing something. Let me try and concentrate. Can I give me a name? Give me a letter. Give me a number that represents something. And then from then I just developed it. And I just kept asking for more and more information. And the more you ask, the more you get.
Was it trial and error? I mean, did you see yourself getting better and better and better at it?
Well, I didn't realize it. You know, and it was only when people used to keep coming back and they said, you know what, your last reading was great, but this is even better. And it was my best friend in England who actually said, you know, I remember the first reading that you gave me, and now I listen to your readings, and you have come on leaps and bounds. But to me, I don't see the difference.
Well, as they say, practice makes perfect,
it
right?
It does. That's exactly it. It's just a skill that you have to hone.
You're not afraid of death, are you?
No, I'm not. There is a certain, I mean, because I've actually crossed over before now and come back, so I'm not afraid of death. But before that, there was a part of me that was fearing the unknown, but I knew that once I'd got over there, it was fine.
Yet it's not a point where all of us want to just hurry and rush to the other side.
Not. We have people over here that we, you know, we love, and we have things over here that we want to accomplish before we pass. So absolutely, but trust me, you know, from experience, I've been over the other side. The transition is easy.
I mean, I want to take this ride, Lisa, for as long as I can. But you know, when the time comes that it's, you know, it's time to go to the other side,
mm-hmm.
I am sure. Most people at the moment of death, just when they're ready to know that they're going to close their eyes forever, it's got to be for a split moment an incredible feeling of fear or emptiness or some kind of loneliness for most people, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. But the thing is, I can relate to that. I had a near-death experience, but for me it was, please just take me. Please just take me from this pain. And I felt this unbelievable kind of like weight lifting off me, and the amount of love, you know, unconditional love for a child, great. But you times up by 100, then you're close to getting the love that you sense as you're lifting out of your body. It's incredible.
So
yeah.
Go ahead. No.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, yes, there is a fear. Of course there is. And it's like, oh, my God, what am I going into? But as soon as that moment hits you, I'm telling you, that fear goes.
Have you ever had any bad entities either in your room or around you and you just didn't want anything to do with them?
Of course. You know, I deal with this sort of thing all the time. I'm bound to attract the negative stuff. And I do. But, yeah, I had one particularly in England where it actually attacked my son, and it was awful. And then I realized that this poor spirit just needed to cross. It was scared of crossing. It was fearful of what was on the other side because it had done some awful things on this side of the, you know, on the earth plane. And it was just scared to cross because there wasn't any, you know, they were unsure about what they were actually going to be, you know, facing.
Lisa, I heard today that the Vatican is short of exorcists. They need more. I couldn't believe it.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, they've got so many people trying to get rid of evil spirits within their loved ones. They don't have enough exorcists to do the job.
Yeah, I can believe it.
There's a career for people if they want to do that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so when you communicate with spirit, how do you do it? What do you see? What do you feel?
You know, I have to get into this meditative state. So obviously I relax and I focus on the person and I ask for the information to come clearly. And then I automatically feel an energy in the room. And I just have to say, okay, are you male? Are you female? Who are you? Give me some details. And then I actually start hearing something. I hear voices. And it comes from like within me or my head. And then I can start tuning it in. And then suddenly I'll see an outline of a person. And then I may close my eyes and I'll see the actual kind of figure project themselves as they used to be when they had their body. And it's all it is energy. So if they can project their energy into me, into like some form of picture, then that's great. I'm done. You know, that's half my battle done.
Do most of these spirits or entities, Lisa, take the figure, let's say, of themselves when they were at a younger age? Do they take the figure at the moment they died? At what point do they pick that up?
You know, that's a really good question. I get asked that a lot. And I find the majority of people who come back, who want to show me what they look like, tend to come back at a time that they were most happiest with themselves. And, you know, if an 80-year-old died, you know, if someone died at the age of 80, but they really felt great at the age of 40, they'll come back as a 40-year-old. And I've actually had somebody literally morph from a very much a teenager to then what they look like at 24 and then 54 and then at the age of when they died at 64. Because these were like personal points in their life that they wanted to remember. And it was so crazy. I couldn't work it out until that person, my client, actually said, you know, I know what they're trying to show you.
Will they generally, Lisa, keep their old personalities, their human personalities? If they were fun-loving people, will they generally come back as a fun-loving entity? Or does that change?
Well, you know, it can change because people can change. And I think that's interesting that we need to remember that is people can change. People can understand that they have done harm in their life or they have been negative or, you know, and then they can change for the better. Because when we pass over, we have to review our life. But 9 times out of 10, the generally happy spirit tends to come back happy. And what happens is, in a reading for me, is they come back how they used to be. So if they were happy, they were happy. If they were angry, they were angry. But generally, if they have got that negative and angry or whatever it may be, personality, they'll come back and say, you know what, I've reformed. I see the error of my ways. And many of them ask for forgiveness. Many of them say they're sorry.
All right, but the entities that come back, let's say, and haunt people, what's their problem?
Their problem is they probably have unfinished business. You know, there's no one, you know, you can't categorize them because, you know, they have many reasons. One may have unfinished business. They may just be scared of crossing over. They may just love the place that they're actually, you know, they passed in and wanted to stay around. There's many, many reasons.
But they also tend to hurt sometimes.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, and it is just because they still have a vendetta. They're still angry. They're still upset. And, you know, I've had my fair share of experiences with this. And, you know, I've run out of places before now, sort of like saying I'm not going back. You know, and then that's when that's a troubled spirit. That's really when it's like when you're dealing with a child who's troubled. You have to sit down and you have to find out what is going on. And you have to gain that spirit's trust. All you're doing is talking to a personality.
Will there be assignments that you turn down because you're not happy with the entity?
Yeah, I have. And I've walked into places and thought, you know what, this is too much for me. I'm not ashamed to say, you know, I can't do this. Because I'm a person at the end of the day. I have to come home to my husband and also my son, and I have to live a normal life. And so if I come home with that spirit or that energy or remnants or under a psychic attack, I'm putting them guys in danger, and I can't do that. So there are jobs that I will say, no, thank you.
You know, I've always looked at the people that come in and come out of my life, Lisa, mm-hmm. and I've always wondered, you know, are they here for a reason? And did I know them in another life? We'll talk about reincarnation when we come back after the break. But people who we associate with, let's say, in this physical life right now, is there a reason for that? Or is it just a luck of the draw? Why are they with us and why are we with them?
I believe that we're all on a pathway and we all, you know, and our pathway is pretty much predestined. But I do believe that we meet people for certain reasons and they're in our life for a season or a reason. And that's exactly what I say, because I do believe that we meet people, they can take us on a journey, we can take them on our journey, and then we part ways again. It's just a process of life.
All right, Lisa's website is lisawilliamsblog.com. Like she said, she's going to be at the Los Angeles Conscious Life Expo this weekend, specifically on Sunday and Monday. We're going to take some of your phone calls with her, and we'll be back. We'll continue talking about reincarnation. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Indeed, indeed. pick up the After Dark newsletter. You'll get 13 issues for the price of 12. It's a great newsletter. Comes in full color. Call 1-888-727-5505, or you can go online at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Lisa Williams, our special guest tonight. We're going to take your phone calls in just a moment. Lisa, are you a believer in reincarnation?
Yes, I do. I do believe in reincarnation completely. And in fact, my son, when he was much younger, he used to say, "Mommy, do you remember what I was before I came to the earth?" I'm like, "Sorry?" You know, and he still shows signs of having had a life in China and a life in Egypt. And it's incredible. So, yes, I fully believe in it.
And again, because of reincarnation, do you think that we were with other people that we cared about in those lives as well?
I do. I fully believe that because, you know, we've all got a soulmate, and I believe that we've met our soulmate in several times. And it's amazing how many times that we meet someone who are actually strangers to us, but we feel so connected. And then they actually eventually become someone who's helped us in our past lives, or and they're actually helping us in this life. You know, there's many connections, and it's like a little woven web that we lead. But I really do believe that we meet people for a reason, and we've met them before in our previous life.
Who shuffles the soul deck for us, Lisa, so to speak? Who puts us together with the like ones that we care about so much?
You know, that's an interesting question. I don't know. Or let me put it this way. I don't remember. But I do know that our lives are predestined. And in many respects, that we choose the life path that we're on. Because, you know, we say, okay, I need to learn that lesson. So in that case, I'm going to come back. And I'm going to choose these parents because they can help me with this. So I do believe that we certainly have a say to a degree on the life that we need to lead.
All right, let's take a few calls. First time caller line, you're on with Lisa Williams. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi,
welcome
how
to the
are
show.
You?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Oh, hello, Lisa.
Hi.
I love you.
Oh, thank you.
So much. I have to ask you, I had a reading last week with a psychic, and she told me that there were negative energies around me.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, how can I tell if I have these energies in my home? And can it come from, like, another person or maybe even a piece of furniture or something that you brought into the home?
Absolutely. You are right. It can come in many ways. You know, it can happen. I mean, first of all, did the psychic tell you how you accumulated this negative energy or what it was?
You know, not at all, but I have noticed the last few weeks that a lot of negative thoughts come
okay.
to me.
That's normally the case. And, you know, I don't want to worry you, but there's often a thing called psychic attack. And it can be for many reasons. Somebody could be projecting negative energy onto you, like, oh, she's really upset me, so I'm going to, no, you know. Mm-hmm. It could also be the fact that you're bringing it on yourself. And maybe you've had a situation, you've had an argument with someone, and you're just like a little bit down in the dumps. Or it could be the fact that somebody has brought it into your home. Maybe they were very negative and they brought that into your home. You know, auras are a great thing. And I always use this situation. Sometimes we sit on a train or on a plane and suddenly we think, oh, you know, we can be really, really happy. And then we sit next to someone we don't know and they're really low. And it's like, oh, you get off feeling so heavy. Yeah. And it's because you picked up something from them. You may not have even spoken to them, but you've picked something up.
Can you tell me how to get rid of that? Or what?
Yeah, I mean, there are many ways. First of all, I always stick music on. I put it on loud. I dance around because the happier you are, you know, the negativity doesn't want to stay around positivity. And like attracts like, you know?
Yes.
So put some music on, dance around, jump, you know, sing, you know, shout, whatever you need to do. I always get some Native American white sage. I sage my whole house. Mm-hmm. And literally, the most important thing that you must remember is to make sure the sage wafts in the corners. And, you know, so therefore you're actually cleansing the house. Allow the doors to open once the whole house is like literally a smoke fest. Turn off, and obviously be careful with the whole smoke and turn off smoke alarms and stuff like that. But you know, open the windows, shower love and light into the house. And then also, I tend to get into a bath of bicarbonate soda and sea salt. Mm-hmm. And I relax in there for 20 minutes, and I'm telling you that will recharge your energy, recharge your aura, put the music on, dance around, think happy thoughts, go out for a walk. It's great to get by nature. If you're close to a wood, if you're close to the ocean, you know, it's great. So that's what I would suggest.
Okay, you know? I appreciate that.
And basically, whoever, if you think somebody has brought it on you, which part of me feels like they have. I don't know whether it's someone's. I feel someone's brought it in. It's not a piece of furniture. I feel someone's brought it in for you. I feel you just need to put it back and say thank you very much, you know, with love, with light, and then just do this. Pretend you've got this white light glowing around you and just add that added force of protection around you.
Okay, great. Thanks for the advice. Let's move on east of the Rockies. You're on with Lisa Williams. Hi there.
Hey, George. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Been a long time listener, about 15 years, first time caller. Love the show. 800 AM CKLW out of Windsor is what I'm listening to.
I love it. Great.
And Lisa, I love your show too. I've seen it a couple of times.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you. And I have a question about this dialogue you carry on with the other side. If they give you any indication to, like, maybe who's going to be our next president or what that individual's role may play in any doomsday 2012 scenarios, or if they give you any indication of a major event like that coming about.
You know, sometimes they do, and I love my dialogue, you know, with them. A lot of the times they just generally deal with, obviously, the person who's sitting in front of me, my client. But there's been occasions that they've actually turned around and said, you know, be careful. And the two most memorable ones were the tsunami and also 9/11. Mm. But fortunately, you know, touch wood, I haven't had any of those visions lately. So, you know, I think we're safe.
Well, keep us posted if you hear anything.
Oh, I will. Don't worry.
Absolutely, Lisa. You call this program or you get in touch with our producers, we'll get you right on.
Oh, I will.
If you feel that. Let's hope you don't. But if you do, let's get you on.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Tell me about the relationship with the late Merv Griffin. This is a great story.
You know, I met Merv 4 years ago by absolute sheer fate. We came over to L.A. just for an extended holiday, really. And I became seriously ill. And this is where I had my near-death experience. And I had to have emergency surgery. And they actually said to me, the UCLA hospital said, you know, we'll have to extend your stay by an extra 10 days. So it was in those extra 10 days that actually I should have been in England. That, you know, in my recovery time after the operation, I happened to just give a reading to somebody who I didn't know. And she ended up working as a producer for Merv Griffin. And she said, I know just the man who would be interested in you. Well, you know, you're in Hollywood and everyone's a producer or a movie director or something. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, here we go. Well, then I've got nothing to lose. So anyway, she said, his name's Merv Griffin. And to me, it meant nothing. She said, you obviously don't know who he is. I said, no. So anyway, she said, Google him. So, of course, I Googled him. I went, oh, no. You know, I couldn't believe who I was meeting. And I walked into his office the following day, and he was just the most charming, delightful man that you would ever meet. Greeted me with this big hug. You know, his dog give me a big sloppy lick on my leg. And we struck up a friendship. And, you know, I shot a pilot with him with several other people. He didn't really like that. And then he decided a year later to produce a show around myself, just me. And, you know, from that moment, Merv became an absolute wonderful man in my life and someone who I really could turn to and someone who, you know, guided me through. And at the beginning of my career on TV, I would not do... You know, he would not allow me to do an interview unless he was by the side of me.
Really?
Yeah, he really coached me.
Yep.
And it was incredible.
He protected you too, didn't he?
Oh, like you would not believe.
Yep.
Oh, and he's the man. And I'm telling you, when you were in his company, you felt safe. And he made you feel $1 million like you were the only person in that room. And it was just, he had just had this way of capturing your everything about you. You know, it was absolutely incredible. No wonder he was so successful and also very psychic, I think.
He's moved on to the other side. Has he tried to communicate with you?
He has, and he's communicated a few times, certainly, as soon as he passed over. And then I saw him at his funeral when we all were there. And there's been several occasions where, you know, I've just been pondering on directions and which way I should go, and he's gone, Lisa, take this direction, do this. And I'm like, thanks, Merv. So, yeah, I mean, and it was interesting. There was myself and two of his producers that went right down to see his headstone recently. And they were like, is he here? I'm like, no, he doesn't want to be here. I mean, come on, it's just a piece of rock. He wants to be somewhere having fun. So
where the action is.
Yeah, where the action is.
I don't blame him. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hello there. Hello.
Hello, George.
Yes, it sure is.
Okay,
hello.
I gotta make sure. Okay. My question is, first of all, it's a pleasure to talk to both you and Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing just great. My question is, and another gal talked to you about it a couple calls back, about becoming ill. And I had heard a few days ago from another guest that was on, talking about becoming ill when there was a loved one around. Now, what are your views on that as far as certain illnesses, or if you feel an entity is close, do you pick up on getting ill? Or, you know, I understand the cleansing and the sage and such, but is there something where you find that entities will cause particular kinds of illnesses when they are around?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, because sometimes when I do my work, I pick up on, you know, the spirits' ailments, their illness, what they used to have. So I get the physical pain. It generally only lasts me a few moments. But there are times when, you know, somebody who is a spirit is trying to grab your attention, they might poke you and they might go, oh, that really hurts. But generally, my belief is that a spirit who is your loved one would never harm you and would never want you to suffer in your life. So they don't bring on those illnesses. However, it's generally it's the negative ones that tend to give you the headaches, the backaches, those sort of pains. And it's something that you can normally get rid of.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It's wonderful talking to you. And George, longtime
yes.
listener.
Well, you thank you for being such a supporter of the program. Let's go next to our West of the Rockies line. You're on with Lisa Williams. Hello there. Well, I think they just hung up.
Oh, hello, hello.
Oh, there you are.
Hello.
Where'd you come from? Space.
I just popped right out of the blue.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi there. I'm experienced with this stuff, Lisa, but I wanted to ask. I moved into this house. It's in 1926, and I've felt other things here, and people have said there's things here. So, but when I wanted to ask you, I've asked the evil one to leave.
Okay.
That's the really evil one, Lisa. It's the kind that will loom over me, over my chair, and I feel like I'm about to get a pummeling.
Okay.
So I've asked it to leave. It's followed me outside to where I had the chance to trap it outside and say, not welcome. And this thing literally stood there and cleared the leaves down to the sidewalk. It was pitch dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I did want to wee my pants, I'll tell you.
Oh, I know that feeling.
Yeah. And I didn't know what to do but to get up and be firm and just say, "I'm. You're not welcome here. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of you, and I'm not welcome. But I don't think it's gone."
Yeah, I can understand that. To me, it feels like it was a male energy. I don't know whether that's
what I'm getting, a big male energy.
A big male energy. I felt very tall. I felt very dark, cloaked kind of energy. Now, the thing is, negative spirits breed on fear. So So if you are fearful of them, they're going to be like, yay. It's like a little playground to them. Right. They're like, you'll fear. Oh, yeah, let's get her. So what you need to do is be strong. And you did the right thing. You pulled it outside and you said, you know what? You're not welcome. This is my house. And you have to put your stamp on your house. You know, and when you get old houses, it's natural to have a feeling about somebody in there and everything. You did exactly the right thing. Since you've actually pulled this energy outside, have you done any form of saging or...
Oh, yes.
Okay, so...
From corner to corner, I have a three-level home.
Okay.
I went from bottom to top, top to bottom, out the doors.
Right, so you're crystalled out. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So what I'm going to say to you is I don't feel as though that spirit's gone.
Right.
And it sounds to me as though that spirit has unresolved issues.
Okay, I want to let you also know, I took a hit since January 8th. I haven't even been able to, this is the first time I've been able to call the show or anything. I haven't been able to email them or anything.
Okay, so obviously...
I've taken a big hit. It put me down since the 8th.
Right, so obviously that they are, you know, they're rebelling against you being pulling them outside. So what I would say to you, do you have any local mediums around that you respect and that you think that you could call upon?
None that I know.
Okay, so what it's going to take is, unfortunately, it's going to take someone who is a medium who basically can sit and can communicate with them. Because it's like a child. You have to understand why they're fearful, why they won't cross over to the other side, what their issues are. And then it's like going through therapy with that spirit. You have to then work with them.
Right. I've tried, I've talked, you know, it's funny you should say that because I thought I was being weird, but I guess not. But I have tried to talk. There's also a redheaded lady here.
Mm-hmm.
But this one that I'm not even going to say the words or put the energy to it.
Yeah.
This one is, it's got to go.
Yeah.
It's got
to go. Okay. Well, what I would do is while you're looking for, maybe you might need to go online and have a look for spiritual churches, and there's normally in a spiritual church that there's a local medium that will be come along who could help you. But in the meantime, what I would suggest is, you know, be happy. Put music on. Make sure you give them no opportunity to feed off your fear. And also, what I would also suggest is the fact that you stay very, very positive and you ask your higher self, you know, your angels, your guardians, your spirit guides, to help protect you away from this negative thing. And then ask it to leave. Ask it to go to the light, or ask your spirit guides to say, you know what, can you just help this guy? He's obviously troubled. I can't do it. What's his agenda? And you may find that you'll start getting dreams. And you'll start getting visions, and you'll start getting ideas, and you'll start working at it. But what I would suggest that you do is, I know you crystalled out throughout the house, but cleanse those crystals every week, because those crystals can only take so much, and then they'll stop working for you.
I didn't know that, Lisa.
Yeah,
they kind of get clogged up. Huh?
Yeah, they get clogged up. It's like anything. There's one crystal that, like it's a citrine, that is a self-cleansing crystal. But the rest of them, you need to keep cleaning them. You need to keep saging them. You need to keep washing them in salt water and putting them outside, because all they're doing is pulling off vibrations. And as soon as, you know, they're not working right, the vibrations will stop. So it's important to cleanse your crystals.
Lisa, we'll look forward to seeing you at the L.A. Conscious Life Expo this weekend.
I can't wait. It's going to be fabulous.
There she is, psychic Lisa Williams. You asked for her. And we got her. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM as we talk about paranormal research. Don't go away.